speaking to us, Lord. We thank you. We love you. Have your will and your way with this afternoon message. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said? Amen. So we come this afternoon to the end of this wonderful chapter on love. Let's go back and turn to 1 John chapter 4, all the way to verse number 7. We're just going to read it by way of introduction. Verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." So over the course of this passage, John has been lifting our eyes to the source and to the expression and to the evidence of true love. And he begins by grounding love in God himself. Love is of God and God is love. Showing the love is not merely an emotion, church, but the very nature of God, verses 7 and 8. And he then points us to the greatest demonstration of that love, that God sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not because we loved him, but because he first loved us, verses 9 and 10. From that foundation, John presses the obligation that if we have been loved like that, we ought also to love one another, verse number 11. He continues by revealing that our love for others is the visible evidence of an invisible God dwelling in us, and that his love is being perfected, being matured in us, verses 12 to 16. And then finally, he shows the result of this perfected love, that is confidence before God. There is freedom from fear and a life rooted in the assurance that we love him because he first loved us, verses 17 to 19. And as we come this afternoon, church, to verses 20 and 21, John brings it all to a sharp and searching conclusion. Love for God. Remember, that was something that I asked you to prove this morning, right? Love for God cannot be separated from love for other people. They are the two sides of the one coin. It must be proven, not merely just professed. You just can't say, "I love God," and that's it. And hence our text. Look at it, verse number 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a..." That's not agasology, folks. If you tell me you love the Lord, I love God, and there is bitterness and hatred in your heart for anyone that claims the name of Christ, folks, the Bible says you're lying. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, verse number 21, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Folks, it is a commandment. You don't get to choose. The Bible is not a smorgasbord of do's and don'ts, and you just go through your little spiritual plate and you pick and choose which one you do want to have and which one you don't. It's not like the lunches that we have next door. Now, I'm pretty lucky because I usually don't skip any. I just put everything in there, amen? He who loveth God, love his brother also. So the exhortation this afternoon, rightly as the message title suggests, you can't love only God. Otherwise, what you have isn't real biblical love. It's a synthetic. It's a fake substitute, as we spoke about in church before. So let me give you some things this afternoon. Not all love is true love, which is why this statement is necessary in 1 Peter 1:22. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles there to 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned love of who? The brethren, right? See that you love one another with a pure heart. How? Fervently. Now the devil, as we also spoke about in church, the devil loves to pull the wool over people's eyes, folks. He loves to make them think they love God when in fact they do nothing of the kind. Folks, how does he do that in a church? I believe he does that through emotionalism, through how he makes us feel, and a lot of the time worship music has a big part in that. He does that through an inflated opinion of oneself. When people come and there's no true humility based on a deep acknowledgement of who we are and what we are capable of our sin. So what you end up with is in this scenario is a person who goes to church and feels quite good about themselves because they feel so close to God during the worship service. Now, of course, this is similar to the feelings experienced in someone who truly is close to God and who truly does love the Lord. But my question to you this afternoon is, how do you tell the difference? How do you know if what you feel towards God is genuine or fake? Well, by pairing it with your attitude towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at verse number 20, folks. Go back to our text. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, can I ask you this afternoon? Do you love God? If a man say, I love God, and what? Hated his brother, he's a liar. Folks, it's as simple as that. If there is another Christian that you don't like, if there is another Christian that you have bitterness in your heart towards, if there is another Christian who you have a spirit of unforgiveness to, that you will not let it go, they have done wrong and you cannot forgive. Folks, the reality is this. From the Bible, don't say you love the Lord. Because you don't. And here's why. For he that loveth not his brother whom hath seen, how can he love God who has not seen? Now often, my dear church, as I stand here, and as my eyes roam over the church, my heart often fills up with sympathy. And I feel empathy. And you know, and I do feel compassion, and I love you guys because I know your burdens. I know the needs that you guys have. A lot of you share those with me. A lot of you share your dreams and your hopes. And you share with me your worries and your frailties and your concerns. And when I look at you guys, it makes me think about your life and the things that individually, the things that you're going through. And as I contemplate these things, folks, and I look at your life, it makes me sensitive to your heartbreaks and to your fears and things you worry about and to the hopes that you have. Because I look at you. A little bit like Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations. He said, you know Lamentations 3:51. Mine eye affecteth my heart. But who knows how that verse ends? He said, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. So here is Jeremiah, and he's looking over his nation, and he's looking at these people, and he knows what each one is going through, and the burdens, and the heartbreaks, and the despair, and the worries, and he's looking at them, and it's affecting his heart. This is exactly what John said in the previous chapter, in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 17. He said about that. He said, let me read that to you. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brothers have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth what? The love of God in him? That's what John is saying to these Christians abroad. He's saying, you look at your brethren and you know them and you know their frailties and their worries and their needs and their mistakes, and you see them and you don't feel love for them, and then how dwelleth the love of God in you? Folks, the reality is this afternoon. If you cannot feel a sympathetic heart of compassion towards your needy brethren, and listen, there's not one of us in here who's not needy. If you cannot feel a sympathetic heart of compassion towards your needy brethren, then how in the world can you know anything about God? Or have any part in Him? If you are so consumed with what's going on in your own life and in your own family and in your own little world, and you don't give a second thought during the week for anyone else in this building or even in another church, how can you possibly say you love God? And that's Bible, church. Ergo, you can't love only God. Because if you truly love God, you will love others. This is a direct connection in God's mind between love for Himself and love for other people. Folks, they cannot, they will not be separated. They go together, always have, always will, church. And understanding this is key to understanding everything about what God expects from you and me. What God expects, how we are to deal with one another and treat one another. Turning your Bibles to, hold your finger in our text, but turning your Bibles to Matthew 22. A portion of Scripture that you will be intimately familiar with. Matthew 22, verses 37, 38, and 39. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Folks, truth like this is not meant to just sit in your heads. This truth this afternoon is meant to expose our hearts. God is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart through the Word of God. So if love for God is proven, remember proven, by love for others, then the real question is not, do I feel like I love God, but rather, how do I actually treat his people? Do I actually prioritize and sacrifice for them the way God showed me he does, in the way he calls me to do that? So at the end of the day, folks, listen, this means love is not just what I feel in as I sing a song in church. Love is not just what I say in a prayer. Love is not just what I claim with my lips. Love is how I respond when someone in my church, love is how I respond when someone I know irritates me. Love is how I treat someone who has wronged me. Love is how I react when someone in my church sins against me. Love is whether I noticed needs of other Christians. Or do I ignore them, putting my own needs first because I'm entitled? Love is whether I carry other people's burdens. Or do I avoid people? Folks, your Christianity, let's get this clear in our heads. Your Christianity and my Christianity is not measured by our emotion towards God. It is revealed by our action towards others. It always has and it always will, church. So here is a question this Arvo. I'm almost done. Who in your life right now is easy to ignore? Who in your life right now, who in my life right now, is easy just to avoid? It's easy to justify not loving them. Is there someone in this church? Someone who has hurt you? Someone who annoys you? Is there someone who you've quietly in the corner of your heart, in the back of your mind, you've just written them off? You've actually said to yourself, they're not worth it. Because according to the Bible, according to this text, that person, that individual, that annoying person that just rubbed you up the wrong way, that person is the test of whether your love for God is real. Not the song you sing, not the doctrines that you affirm, not the services that you attend, that person. That person is a revealer of whether you truly and biblically love the Lord your God. It's quiet, bro. If there is coldness, if there is distance, if there's any form of indifference, listen, folks, don't excuse it. Don't redefine it in your own head bubble. Don't hide behind terrible things like, oh, I'm just like that. Oh, you know what? God made me a hothead. I'm Latino, I know, Sister Vicky. I'm just angry, and that's the way God made me. We Latinos, man, we get angry at everything. Call it what God calls it. I encourage you, folks, this afternoon, make it right. Because you cannot love just God. You cannot love only God. If you truly love Him, if you truly love Him, you will love them. You will love them. And you will love them the way He loves them. You know how He loves them? Unconditionally. Do you love God? Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Before we pray, let's go ahead and stand, folks. Let's bow our heads. Before we pray, I'm just going to take a quiet moment right where you're standing this afternoon. And please, church, please don't think about this relating to anyone else. All right? The last thing we need is hear a word of the Lord and then think about, oh, I'm glad they got to hear this. This is between you. This is between you and God. If there is someone in this church, someone in your life that you have not been loving the way God has loved you, then you need to respond to the Lord today. Folks, maybe it's not open hatred. Maybe you don't desire a malice on them and you don't desire things to go bad. You don't desire the vengeful reaction of God on them. But there's this comfortable distance you're happy with. There's this comfortable indifference. There's this avoidance and there's this coldness of heart. And if we're honest this afternoon, God has put His finger on that person this afternoon. Folks, don't push that away. Because this isn't just about them. This is about your love for God. And if God has spoken to your heart right now in your own words, confess it. Make it right with Him. And maybe, just maybe, even purpose in your own heart, I'm going to make this right with Him. I want to encourage you this afternoon, don't leave this thing undone. Father, thank You for Your word this afternoon. So clear, so sobering, and yet so searching, Father God. And we confess it's easy to say we love You, but not always easy to love others. Father, forgive us for the times we've been cold, and maybe we are cold and indifferent or lacking compassion. Help us to love the way You've loved us, genuinely and sacrificially and consistently, Lord. And show us where we need to make things right and give us the humility and the courage to do it. Father, may our love for You be real and genuine, not just in words, but in how we go about living our life. And may our church be marked by how we love one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of God's people said,